You're listening to episode number 482 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Check out the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. Get early and sometimes exclusive access to all things 360 Vegas, including 35 episodes of Vintage Vegas, 47 Anti-Ups, 86 Vegas Cocktails, and lots more with a $7 per month subscription to Patreon. That's patreon.com/360Vegas. Join the conversation on Discord with dedicated chats covering all things 360 Vegas. It's free to join, and an invite to our server can be found at 360vegaspodcast.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio. Riviera. The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara. The MGM
Grand. This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
Want to gamble?
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
And I almost got through it without fucking it up.
You got it. You got it. You just didn't trust yourself. Do you feel it, gentlemen?
Just because I don't listen to myself when I talk.
Do you feel it? The coming together of the three of us. It feels very Rat Packian.
There's so much testosterone flowing right now that it's pretty awesome. So let men be men.
You're right. So unfortunately, yeah. Karen did not feel well today, so she's not able to join us on the show. So once again, coming in to pinch hit, we have Josh, a.k.a. Vegas J-Dubs.
Hello.
Thank you, sir.
I think you mentioned that our review of the Rat Pack is back is supposed to go live like next week, too, isn't that?
This guy's a pro. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's positive. I don't know the exact date, but I pre schedule all these things. So
listeners might get an overload of the Josh, Mark, and Tony show. Now, no, nothing intended with that order, by the way.
Yeah,
that's how it looked across my screen. Josh, Mark, and Tony. So yeah, listeners might get a little overdose of the three of us together.
Yeah, well.
That's amazing. So, Mark, how far out are you posting some of this Patreon content?
A year.
That's wild.
Yeah, we just...
That's insane.
And that's one of the things that I told our Discord folks is that, you know, I'm going to share with them when we're working on stuff and how we're getting stuff, you know, like my progress on this. But the problem is, you know, like I'll just get something done and like going, oh, that's great. When's it coming out? Like April of next year. You know?
Amazing. It's amazing. All right, well, listen, so this is not necessarily to exclude Karen, but to the contrary, it's to include Josh on this. I have got some fun categories that I didn't think that Karen would probably give two hoots about one way or the other as it related to some best of from the Casino Player magazine of 2023. And so, Josh, if you will join me in having some fun here, I wanted to share
the category
with you,
Best Titty Show. It's the best titty show.
It absolutely is. So, and we figured if there's anybody that will know, but no, joking aside. So let's talk about a few categories here. Let's first start with best craft beer selection.
Okay.
Now, as a reminder for folks, the 2022 winners for best craft beer downtown Las Vegas was, and personally, in my opinion, I'm totally biased, but I thought this was a valid winner. I thought the best craft beer selection deserved to go to the winner, which was 777 Restaurant and Microbrewery at Main Street Station.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right, so that was 2022. Also, for the best craft beer selection 2022 on the Strip was a place that I've never been to my knowledge. I've never been to The Still at Mirage. Gentlemen, any experiences?
I have been to The Still, yeah, but I didn't realize they had a craft beer, to be honest with me.
I don't think I knew that either.
Yeah.
So rolling then into 2023, which I know it's funny because we're recording this in April of 2024, but it's going to, you know, it takes time. We'll eventually get to 2024 whenever it comes out in the end of the year. So new winners across the board. No winners from last year repeated this year.
Okay.
And they even added a Las Vegas Locals Best Craft Beer Selection category in 2023 that was not in 2022. So let's talk about the best craft beer 2023 for downtown Las Vegas was Chicago Brewing Company at Four Queens.
I don't know about that. I not that there's anything wrong with that brewery. That's a really good brewery. But and maybe it's just because I'm thinking about Brewery Row now, and I'm like, it's time to give them some love. Right. I mean, especially if we're talking the best of.
Yep. And I don't know that there will ever be a time where the Casino Player magazine will branch outside of
it's a good point.
Traditional casino.
It's a good point.
Players. Yeah,
I mean, I guess if that's what I'm held to is that it's got to be in a property, then yeah, there's nothing wrong with that pick at all. That's a really great brewery.
For sure. You know what I love most about Chicago Brewing Company at Four Queens is not only do they have what I think are good beers, like truly, I would sit down. They're comped if you're playing video poker, so you're going to be able to drink there for free. You're going to be able to drink craft beer for free. I also love that it also happens to sell. They sell their own cigars. They sell other people's cigars as well, but they sell cigars there. So you can enjoy beer, craft beer, while playing video poker, while they encourage you to smoke cigars.
Yes.
And
that's cool.
I, to me, that is the equivalent of being at, help me out, Mark and Josh, the place in Caesar's Palace.
Monte Cristo's.
Yes.
Monte Cristo's, yes. That is, to me, that is the Monte Cristo's of downtown.
Of downtown, wow. I like it.
Right? Because think about it. I don't know anywhere else, and I welcome you gentlemen to jump in if you're thinking about it, where else you can go downtown Las Vegas to buy cigars and sit there and play video poker and drink some free craft alcohol, whether it be beer or cocktail. So I think that's a winner.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I would say the only other thing I would say about craft beer selection, and I don't, to be quite honest with you, I don't really go to places in Vegas and seek out craft beer because I kind of want to know what I'm getting. And so I usually go with stuff I'm familiar with when I'm in Vegas. Yeah. But I would say what I've seen at the Carousel Bar at Plaza has a selection because a lot of craft beer places, you're getting their craft beer.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. But Carousel Bar has a few different local craft beers, and so I would also kind of expect to see them maybe on the list in the future, but I really do like Chicago Brewing for all the reasons you mentioned. I think that's a cool place, and it's amazing what Four Queens has done with just that little tiny area, where, you know, they've got like flatbread pizzas as well as the craft beer and the cigars and video poker. So yeah, it's a cool place. I need to spend more time there.
Very cool. On the Strip, we had made mention that the Still at Mirage was the winner of 2022. The winner in 2023 was a place I'm not familiar with, Beer Park at Paris Las Vegas.
See, I've never gone simply because it's got a CNF fee to
CNF,
it.
CNF, yeah.
I've heard the beers are great.
Have you?
Yeah. And again, I haven't really sampled. I think it was brunch, so I didn't really sample any craft beer, although it was Vegas. So, like, why is that a barrier? it's a cool place because you're outside. It's kind of like Mon Ami Gabby, except you're up a level, too. So you've got a great view of the fountains and everything. Can't people watch like you can at Mon Ami Gabby because, again, you're up a level. I like the vibe there. I just have to, I've only been there once, and of course I had to kind of get into it with the server and say, what is this dumb charge? Take it off, and they did.
Nice. But, okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. It's a cool place.
And then for the locals, the locals newly added to this category was the Front Yard at Ellis Island.
I don't have a problem with that pick. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'm a little surprised that it fell under the locals category.
Yeah. Well, it's not on the Strip, so
That's fair.
Anything that isn't on the Strip or downtown is qualified as locals.
All right, how about this? Best sports bar. Best sports bar. So in 2022, the sports book bar at Golden Nugget Casino was considered the best sports bar in downtown. Now, I'm going to have to defer to you, gentlemen, because I'm not a sports ball better. So you'll have to tell me if you think that's a legit win or not.
Oh, sorry.
Your silence is deafening. Silence is deafening. Okay. How about locals? Mark, what do you think about, because this is your quote-unquote neighborhood casino, what do you think about the sports book bar at Red Rock Casino?
It's a good one. It's the one in the middle. It's Red Rock Rocks or something like that. It's a nice space, especially, you know, when you consider all the other local options. I think coming in 2024, you're going to end up seeing, what is it, the George at Durango probably make an appearance.
That's cool. That's cool. Before I move on to the strip, Josh, any thoughts on Red Rock's sports bar?
I've walked through Red Rock one time, so yeah. I'll defer to Mark on that. Yeah. Fair
enough. And then last but least on the so again, this was 2022. Level Up at MGM Grand. I bet you I could count on one hand, and I wouldn't need all five digits to count on the number of times I've been in MGM Grand. Any opinions, gentlemen, about?
No, but I feel like I need to go there more. It's funny, somebody that loves Vegas as much as I do, like the properties that have annoyed me now are growing a special place in my heart. Like now it's like I want to get more familiar with MGM because I'm so unfamiliar with it. The same thing with Caesars. Like Caesars is a property that continues to perplex me, but I'm like, I have to figure this property out.
Didn't we do a meetup at the MGM Level Up sports bar?
Not for one
of our Vegas vacations.
It wasn't Level Up. It was called something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I remember it being in a circular sort of like the Centrifuge. Maybe might have been
Centrifuge. We did one of those for a Vegas vacation.
Yeah. Okay. So that was 2022. In 2023, once again. Oh, I know why I didn't want to talk about this, because they barely changed. In 2023, the sportsbook bar Golden Nugget maintained its downtown win.
That's crazy talk. No way.
Because now Circa, I don't understand why you don't have Circa completely knocking that off.
Just dominating that.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Again, sportsbook bar at Red Rock won the Las Vegas Locals. The only change up to the Las Vegas Strip had nothing to do with properties. It was still a winner at the MGM Grand, but now they said that the Tap Sports Bar.
Tap is the one that we went to. That's the one we went to.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And then last but not least, gentlemen, we've got one final category, and it is Best Pool / Beach Bar. Best Pool / Beach Bar. Now, in 2022, the Citrus Grand Pool Deck at Downtown Grand was the winner.
Okay.
The Sunbar Grill at Red Rock was the winner, and the Beach Bar and Grill at Mandalay Bay was the winner. Only one, so two out of the three maintained their winnership from 2022 to 2023.
Okay.
And Josh, I'm going to let you jump in right here and say, who should be the winner of the Downtown Best Pool and Bar in Las Vegas for Downtown? You already said it. Say it again.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. So that would be Stadium Swim, right?
Right, exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's two things Circa does that challenges things on the Strip. I mean, it's not just a downtown thing. Like, it's their dominance is market wide.
Yeah.
So there you go, gentlemen. That is, again, not that I didn't think that Karen wouldn't have an opinion about it, but I figured that might be fun to pull Josh in and talk about the sports bar and the craft beer and whatnot.
There
so
you go.
With that, I think we should start the show. He's Mark, he's Josh, I'm Tony, and as always, we start with Random Vegas.
Tropicana's nickname was the Tiffany of the Strip because it was said to be in the shape of a necklace when viewed from an aerial perspective. We'll have a link on the blog that shows that perspective.
Josh, why don't you go first, buddy?
I mean, I thought it was the Tiffany of the Strip because it was known for its fabulous Beatles covers. But thank you for getting my obscure 80s pop music reference. I appreciate that. No, I don't have anything to say, really, except it's just kind of, I guess, a fascinating nickname when you look at it today.
Right, I know,
like,
right.
Because, you know, you think of Tiffany of the Strip, and that's kind of like a crown jewel kind of thing.
Right.
And now it's like it's run down, and it's smaller than all the other ones and stuff. So just kind of fascinating that it had that nickname at one point.
Yeah. You know, with this specific picture that is being put on Twitter, I can see where that comes from. I would be interested to see if, because they speak about it. So literally, as Mark said, the verbiage here is, according to the Tropicana Hotel Facebook account, the original Y-shaped design. I missed that when I read it the first time through. Damn, totally missed it. Never mind. I was going to say, I need to see what it looks like today to see if I still see that. But no, in this picture, I get it. It's actually, I thought it looked like a GoBot with an erection. Next up is the Twit Pick of the Week.
This is another property that I have an irrational affinity for. Like the Fountain Blue today, the Landmark was a project that stalled for almost a decade before it was completed. Unfortunately, she wasn't finished by someone who had a passion for her, and therefore she struggled. Once it did open, it was no longer the tallest building in the city, so the cash of that concept was lost. But still, something about her casino in the sky just sounds appealing. Probably why it still exists for high rollers in properties like Encore. Regardless, I never got to see the Landmark, and therefore she will remain idealized to me, like she is in this picture shared by @SumaCorp, which is probably better than actual memories I would have made.
So I guess it never occurred to me, Mark. Was there a casino at the top of
for a while,
the yep. Landmark here that we're looking at?
In the beginning, yeah, there was not only a casino but a lounge.
Wow, and I then, guess I had no idea.
Yeah, well, and then the funny thing is, I'm sure you could relate to this, Tony, gamblers were annoyed by having to wait to go up an elevator, so they just stayed on the bottom floor and played.
That's awesome.
So
that's
the
awesome.
Casino I mean, in the sky I love didn't it, last very long.
That breaks my heart. How fun would that be to go up? Because I assume if they did it right, the minute those elevator doors open,
right.
Like you just got a fucking eyeful of gorgeous casino blitz.
Oh yeah,
you know, like you open up and all of a sudden you go, oh my god, this is when I go, if what was the dude that did the behind the inside the actor studio said, if heaven exists, what does it look like to you? When I open the doors, Saint Peter greets me as a casino host to one big fucking, you know, heaven full of casino. So that's,
can you imagine gambling up there at night? Like,
oh, right.
Curtains are open and you can see, you know, in the distance, and not that far away, but in the distance, you know, the strip, just a line of lights. Like,
it's very similar to the views you get from Rio and from Palms. Like, it's just gorgeous. Like, you're just far enough away to be able to appreciate the bigger sum.
Yeah. It'd be like, all these blackjack tables on this end of the building get all the attention that no one wants to play on the other end of the building.
Right? Oh, absolutely, Josh. So all of a sudden, that side of the building is $100 a hand blackjack.
Right.
And this side, that's $5 because there ain't nothing to see.
Got to pay for that view somehow.
Right.
That's amazing. Well, listen, as always, we will link to the photo on our blog. We'll feature on all of our social media outlets, such as Flickr, Pinterest, Facebook, and Twitter. Let's get into the news. The news is brought to you by StripWalking.com. For the ultimate customizable POV walking experience in Vegas, check out StripWalking.com. First up, let's talk about the LVCVA 2023 Visitor Profile Study. So the people that we were just talking about going to these assorted best bars and best sports bars were these numbers right here.
Let's analyze these people. Only 16% of people said it was their first trip to Vegas, a four-year low. While repeat visitation is at a five-year high of 84% of visitors. The average number of visits in the last year still holds at twice for all visitors. So it's your first time and you're immediately coming back right away. Those that come to Vegas, 70% are active on Facebook, 54% on Instagram, 31% on TikTok, rounded out by Twitter at 26%. How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Nearly half the people surveyed said their primary reason for coming to Vegas was for vacation or pleasure, particularly those for the first time. gambling came in as the third most popular reason. 88% of people visiting for the first time said that they would highly recommend Vegas. 90% of repeat visitors said the same thing. 61% of first-timers said that they expect a return in 2 years or less. 83% of repeat visitors said the same. And 22% said that they were visiting for a special occasion. 50% said it was their birthday. 18% said it was an anniversary or romantic getaway. 9% said it was a wedding. And 8% said it was a bachelor or bachelorette party. Any of these numbers surprising you, gentlemen?
Not really.
No.
No. Although I'll say it's an anniversary or something like that almost every time I check in just to see if I get something. Because
why wouldn't you? You are out literally nothing.
And they have nothing to prove. Like, they're not going to say, can I see your wedding certificate,
marriage
sir?
Certificate.
So, yeah. So
shady
it's
tips.
My anniversary
I
several
like
times
it.
A year.
Right. Continuing on, Gen Z is most likely to visit downtown at 64%. Millennials are next at 58%, and Gen Z comes in at 49%, with the boomers only coming in at 43%. Oh, what did I say, Z?
Yeah, you said Z. Yeah. So Gen X comes in at 49%.
Yes.
Can we take a pause for just a hot second and talk about that?
Yeah.
So
I was surprised by that number.
I am, because I'm not going to speak for Josh, but Mark, you and I believe fall into the Gen X category, right?
Yep, that's correct.
So we're at 49%. Then the next, that's interesting. So we're in third out of fourth place.
Right.
So it goes Gen X, then millennials, then us in the Gen X category. Sorry,
the
Gen Z is
younger you go, the more likely you are to visit
downtown. That's what surprised me. Yeah.
I wonder to what degree, though, our generation and the boomers simply remember dirty downtown, right? They still remember it when it was old and decrepit and run down and not a safe place to be. Whereas, especially Gen Z, they don't even know that there used to be a time.
Or give a fuck. Gen Z's like,
I don't drive down the street.
I know. You think this is freaky? You think this is weird, Dad?
Yeah.
72% of people who booked their trip did so via a website or an app. 18% of those called the property directly. 18% of people called.
I can't believe that.
I have to assume, and again, no offense to boomers, but I assume that it's the boomer generation that is doing that because they don't really, like, that's just how it always used to be. You called up, you made the phone call. Or, and here would be an interesting breakdown.
Okay.
Is it people who have casino hosts?
I was just thinking that.
And call their casino host and say.
I was just thinking that. I don't have a host, and I wondered if any of you gentlemen have ever had a host before, if that's what you do.
No. I was just picturing somebody with a rotary phone, like, this is what I do.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Let's see. 54% of people, 48% of people who visited booked their hotel accommodations more than 1 month in advance of their trip. 41% were at less than a month, and 11% were less than a week.
Looking at you, Josh. Looking at people like you, Josh. Super jealous, man.
54% of people paid the regular rate for their room. 14% had a comped room. 3 nights and 4 days is the most popular length of time to visit Vegas at 31%. 6 days or more came in at 19%. 61% of people who came to Vegas came with someone. 13% came with four or more people.
How many left with someone that they didn't come with?
Someone else.
Or at least someone else's STD.
Right. Who didn't come home with a gift? A concerning high trend is the number of people traveling with persons under 21. 16% in 2023, down from the 2021 high of 21%, but a far cry of the 5% reported in 2019.
Guilty.
I was going to say, I'll have to bite my tongue. I saw the very fun pictures that Josh posted with his children allowing them to hang out with Mark.
I still argue that Vegas is a family town. It just, you have to actually be a family and be adults.
You have to do family things. Like,
yes.
I gambled 45 minutes and it was after I put my kids to bed and my wife stayed up in the room. Like, you can't do Vegas like my wife and I do Vegas when you have kids. That's all. That's true. That's the difference.
Yep.
And but God love you though, Josh. I think that you are the outlier, right? I gotta believe you're probably the anomaly.
Maybe
I have, right? Because how many times have we been at a slot machine with somebody who's got a baby in a stroller at 11 p.m.?
Well, I think that, you know, the flip side of that is you're going to notice the people who are doing it wrong, and you're not going to notice the people who are putting their kids to bed at 9 o'clock.
Oh, of course. That's a great point. Right. Very fair point. Fair point.
And then to finish it off, during Vegas vacations, the number of properties visited is down again this year to 3.7. In 2018, it was at a 5-year high at 6.4.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm guilty of visiting many properties when I'm in Vegas.
I don't understand that. I literally cannot wrap my head around only going to 3.7 properties in a trip. And I don't care, unless you're staying at, and I'm making this up, say Durango or Red Rock or somewhere that is not conducive to getting to other places. If you're staying at Horseshoe, Paris, Caesars, Bellagio, how do you not get to greater than 3.7? Yeah. Just by staying on your own side of the street.
I wonder, would conventioners be included in these numbers? And if so, are they dragging that average down?
Ooh, that's a good angle.
Probably.
I didn't think of that. All right, 26% of visitors attended a show, down half from what it was in 2018. Of those, 57% went to a production show, and 21% went to a headliner. 6% attended a sporting event, more than 60% of which were from California, Arizona, and Utah. 91% highly recommended live sports in Vegas. There are a ton more stats if you're interested in any of these. I've clearly fell down a rabbit hole, but we will have a link on the blog so you can also dig into these should you be interested in more.
That's awesome. Josh, looking at these numbers, is there anything that really jumps out at you that surprises you one way or the other?
Good, bad, or otherwise? That we haven't talked about that I want to draw attention to is, and I mentioned this a little bit on Twitter when some of these numbers came out a few weeks back, the 57% went to a production show. So when Awakening was having a little bit of trouble kind of finding its feet and figuring out what it was, a lot of people were like, this is it. This is the end of production shows in Vegas because, you know, if the Wind can't make Awakening happen, then production shows are over. And I think that number there kind of speaks for itself. More than half went to a production show in Vegas. So they're not dead.
No, definitely not.
I concur. That's interesting enough. Do you think, and I know that it closed a little while ago, but gentlemen, where would you... So I would put any Cirque show as a part of a production show. But what about shows like Jersey Boys and Phantom of the Opera and other staged Broadway shows? Should we consider that to be a production show?
They would count. If any of those were in Vegas, they would count, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. I don't know. I always love to get your perspective on this, Josh, because I'm not a show goer, production or headliner otherwise. So I'm always really interested in hearing, your thoughts on it. And again, I'm not intentionally, but I guess I am super teasing the Rat Pack is Back that's about to come out because you've got some phenomenal takes on it, man. All right, this is interesting. I loved it until I saw the won't be ready until year, but conceptually, I love this idea. Let's talk about a new airport in Vegas.
Clark County is looking to build a second airport to help alleviate the stress put on Harry Reid. It would be located south of Harry Reid near Gene and Prim.
Stress on Harry Reid.
That should be the stress anymore.
that should be the title of this week's podcast.
If the plan comes to fruition, it won't be ready until 2037. The cost to build is projected between $6 and $14 billion. Harry Reid served a record 57.6 million passengers in 2023.
Yeah, it did.
surpassing 2022's record of 52.6 million. It is currently the 12th busiest airport in the world.
I'm gonna say, without having literally anything to back up what I'm about to say, it surprises me that the airport in Las Vegas, the airport formerly known as McCarran, is only the 12th busiest in the world.
Sure.
Knowing the numbers that Las Vegas is having,
right.
I am surprised it is still that far down the list. Now, maybe
you got to think about global hubs like Paris and England and New York.
That's fair. I ran down a rabbit hole the other day of looking up the world's most populated cities, and some cities that I had never even, I don't want to say I'd never heard of, but certainly would not have been at the forefront of my mind being up there. So obviously New York wins for America, but America is like the 11th or 12th or 13th most populated city in
That's
the
crazy.
World.
Yeah.
And so I guess maybe to some degree I should give the airport formerly known as McCarran the credit it's due, because it certainly is busier than the 12th and 13th and 14th most populated cities in the world. So that's good for Vegas. I love that.
I think that because of the way Vegas kind of organically grew in the direction it grew, it's kind of fortunate that Harry Reid is located where it is, right? Very few cities can you get off the plane and your destination is less than a mile away. Usually the airport's way the hell out in the sticks.
Yeah.
At the time the airport was made, it was way the hell out in the sticks. And it just frustrates me that they might be considering making an airport now that's way the hell out in the sticks.
Right.
Because it's 20 miles away.
Yeah.
I know that there had been talk of doing like a second... the word commercial stuck in my head, but that's not right. Like a logistics airport, for more materials and freight and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I could see that, but man, how pissed would you be if you're like, oh, my company I work for booked me a flight into Vegas, and I found out I'm going into the Gene Airport instead of the
you know,
then you got to ride the long ass shuttle or whatever.
You know what? And I bet you, Mark and Karen could relate to this reference right now. It would be the difference between getting flown into O'Hare versus being flown into Midway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a night and day difference.
Yep.
All right. That's going to do it for news. Let's roll into Prop Bets. For those of you unfamiliar, Prop Bets is an extension of the news, but with just bits and pieces of noteworthy items. Prop Bets is brought to you by Vegas Near Me. If it's fun to do or see, it's on Vegas Near Me. It's available free on Android and iPhone. You can use the search term 360VV14 to get a listing of the properties that we will be featuring at the 360 Vegas vacation. Okay, so first up, we've got, according to a source at Margaritaville, they are not closing this establishment, this Margaritaville establishment, until May at the earliest. They are currently in a month-to-month lease with Flamingo right now. That, to me, is a fascinating bit of detail, because if you are in a month-to-month lease, that means that Flamingo hasn't found a replacement for you yet. You don't want to leave, so you're willing to pay the jacked-up month. Think about it for anybody that has lived in an apartment complex, particularly during their college age years, right?
Right.
You don't want to move out yet, but you don't want to commit to a 12-month lease. So you'll be willing to pay a little extra every month to have a month-to-month lease so that, with a 30-month notice, you can GTFO. That's good for Margaritaville, and it's good for Flamingo. But that tells me that, in my opinion, Flamingo hasn't actually found, or aren't they putting in a Gordon Ramsay or something in that?
Not in the same space.
Conceptual area?
No, yeah. It's at where the Bird Bar
things
is.
Things are not flowing quite in the timeliness level that they anticipated it, but that's nothing but conjecture, kids.
That's you, Josh.
Sorry about that. This week, Larry Flynt's Hustler Club was offering free lap dances to all former Tropicana employees with proof of employment.
That's the trick. They were all unemployed.
So I got to say that this is not the first time they've done something similar to this. Like, they were doing something like, when the Golden Knights were in the playoffs last year, it was like, you know, free lap dances to all the players. And they've done, a little over like 15 months ago when Southwest had the major, the Southwest practically collapsed. And so a lot of people were stranded in Vegas. They were offering free lap dances to people who could show that their flights had been delayed. So Hustlers Club does a great job of marketing by just putting out these promotions out right. here always in the, get them in the news. So nice. I think it's hilarious.
Well done. Fox Sports and AEG will launch a new postseason college basketball tournament next year. Those that didn't qualify for the NCAA tournament will not be eligible, or will be eligible. All right, so it just seems redundant.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Lost Spirits, the rum distillery tour with a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea theme at Area 51 is closing at the end of April. A concept that was critically successful, but financially, bump, bump, ba-dum, sad trombone.
Yes. I love the concept. You know, the rum was...
You loved it, right? You loved even the rum, but Karen didn't. What do you think, Mark?
I wasn't a fan of the rum. It was all a bit strong.
She hated it. Karen hated it, right?
Well, Karen hates rum, period. So, that's not a surprise.
She just hasn't tried good rum yet.
I'm sure that's...
Gentlemen, I think we should kidnap her and take her to the Caribbean. I know. She'll be like, oh, twist my arm.
Right.
We went there twice. Went there once, and then like 6 months later, as we were planning another trip, my wife was like, can we go back to that place again? And we had like the rum was okay.
Yeah.
We just had a great experience with the whole experience thing. And I've told people that before. Don't go for the rum necessarily, but the experience is really cool. So
I agree.
I think this is a bummer, but I also think their excuse is a little suspect because they said due to some of the loans they took on and hardships due to COVID. Well, they opened that place in like 2021. Like you knew COVID was happening when you opened it. So I don't know if that's the whole story, but it is unfortunate. I think it's a cool place, and it's just too bad.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
And the Moulin Rouge site needs to maintain its gaming license designation, so it will open a temporary casino and a trailer on the site. I always think it's cool when they do this. There are no plans to build on this site at this time.
Yeah.
I mean, keep the gaming license active. God willing, someone will come along and do something with that.
I feel bad for that attendant that sits there for 8 hours by themselves and maybe some...
Oh, what a terrible job. I would assume that the only job worse than being a slot attendant at the formerly known as McCarran Airport would be the attendant at one of these pop-up casino right. sites, because they're just sitting there with a little pouch full of money and change, and they got to just pay it out when you're ready to be done playing your Black Widow slot machine.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's too bad they don't have like one table game there so you could, you know, come away from with a chip or something that said, you know, Moulin Rouge on it. But
right. That would be cool.
Someone's writing on it with a Sharpie. MR.
It was announced this week that the Oakland A's will play in Sacramento for the 2025 to 2027 seasons until their new stadium is built in Las Vegas. While in Sacramento, the team won't use a city designation. They will simply be known as the Athletics or the A's. Hopefully, we don't have to talk about this for a while.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what, Sacramento? You can just keep them. That's totally cool. Good for you guys.
Just hang.
Make it as comfortable for them as possible there, right. please.
Raiders owner Mark Davis... His net worth skyrocketed to skyrocketed from $500 million in 2026. To get this number, folks, from $500 million to $2.3 billion this year. That is almost a five-fold value. The move to Vegas is credited with this wealth windfall. Well, no shit.
That'll happen to me too.
I know, right?
Yes,
that's what I understand.
Income,
yes.
Josh, will quintuple. Duh. Math.
Due to the Hilton acquiring majority controlling interest in the Seidel Group, the company that owns the Nomad brand, Nomad Las Vegas will be rebranded at Park MGM. In the coming months, Hilton expressed a desire to expand the brand to other markets.
Yeah, I didn't understand why that meant they had to step out of the Vegas market, but apparently they do.
That's I find that interesting. I've heard good things. I've stayed at Park MGM. I was kind of meh, but I've heard really good things about the Nomad rooms and the Nomad floors. So
yeah,
I hope they find something cool to replace it with, because people speak highly of that. So.
Yep. A new hotel to be located near the Strip with a synagogue and a kosher restaurant offering was proposed this week to the Clark County Zoning Commission. Regardless of their ruling, the 648-foot-tall King David Hotel will not be built.
I mean, I guess I got a question. To what degree, Mark, is what you just stated opinion, and what is legitimate? Like is King David Hotel what?
Is it
the name is that they're proposing?
Is it possible in the sense that a unicorn is possible? Yes, Tony, it is possible. It could happen. Theoretically, we could stumble upon an animal that has a horn growing out of its head.
I guess my point, though, is to say, you pick any religion, Catholicism, Protestants, Judaism, whatever. If enough rich folk come together and say, we want to build this thing as a tribute to
they
our...
did. It's called Las Vegas.
That's... Yeah, I love the joke about nobody becomes more no atheist becomes more religious than the atheist that walks in and prays that the dice roll the way they want them to.
Right. You know?
So I get it. That's awesome. Hey, the Neon Museum relit the old Tropicana lettering it had on display in memorial to the property closing. I think a memorandum is a document.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
It's on display on the backside of the gift shop, but it's inside the Boneyard. I think that would be well worth going to visit and getting to see in person.
Yeah. It's the old font, too.
I think Josh is frozen.
Oh, we may have lost Josh.
We may have.
Oh, it looks like we did.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about you? How about you jump in and let's see if he joins in a minute.
Yeah. A large investor in Bally's wants the company to reject their buyout offer to take the company private and instead focus on its core business of running casinos. It was also encouraged that the company focus on its Chicago and Las Vegas developments and abandon their plans to seek a New York license. I would say that's pretty smart on their part, considering they can't fund either.
I thoroughly agree, except that can you, and I hope the answer is yes, but can you unring that bell? Can you unclose the Tropicana? Can you save it from demolition and bring it back online so that they can indeed focus on their Chicago and Las Vegas developments, like what they've got present day on the Strip?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know if you can do that. I think it would be a very astute business decision to do this. Be a very responsible decision to be like, going, guys, we were really excited about doing all this, but you know, the market being what it is, you know, we've got some responsibilities that we got to take care of. I mean, you got fucking Chicago and Las Vegas. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
I couldn't agree more. And frankly, in my opinion, an up and running and working casino is to bring in money. Like, I'm surprised that they didn't keep the Tropicana running until literally the day the cranes were outside the building to start right. demolishing it.
Right.
Why not milk every single day's worth of income out of that property until it was time? Because at that point, then you really know if this is going to happen and you're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Despite reported asbestos concerns, it was revealed this week that plans are to implode the Tropicana in late 2024.
Still trying to decide if I want to go downtown for it, or if I want to go down to the Strip to experience it. It's just to be in the vicinity of an implosion.
What? So tell. I guess I did not anticipate that. Tell me why downtown would be.
I misspoke when I said downtown. I think downtown. Okay. Like, I'm leaving my house. I'm going down to the, you know.
You're going down to the gotcha. Yeah. Mark, I don't know why you wouldn't. It's again one of those rare occurrences
right.
where you get to see it in person. I think you should.
Right.
That's you, sir.
Yep. The two-time defending world champion WNBA Aces have moved their July 2nd game against the Indiana Fever to T-Mobile because Caitlin Clark is expected to play to be playing on the team. Caitlin is expected to be the first pick in the WNBA draft this month. She's really good.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Listen, as a guy who doesn't watch or care about sports ball all that much, I certainly know this name,
right?
Caitlin Clark, and I know she plays for Iowa, I believe.
Iowa, yep.
Yep. So, that's good for them. Good for them. Yep. But obviously, I'm going to show my ignorance, Mark. Caitlin is expected to be the first pick in the WNBA draft. Who would have the opportunity to grab her for the purposes of wanting the game extended?
No one. No one would be able to. Basically, she's so popular that she's the consensus number one pick. She hasn't even been picked yet. And people are already planning their season around, oh, well, you know what? We're going to move over to T-Mobile because we're going to have a whole lot of people want to see this game.
Maybe we'll have to talk about it off mic. I guess I still understand what's going on. All right. The Consumption Lounge, named Dazed, has opened at Planet 13.
My favorite thing about this place is they have one room that's just like couches and TVs.
I mean, and let me be clear. Although I am not a marijuana user, I am certainly a cigar aficionado.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate the opportunity to sit in a nice, relaxed area with some, you know, nice leather overstuffed chairs and watching TV. Maybe I'm showing my ignorance. Is it a different sort of theory where you're not sitting there to enjoy the flavors that come from the tobacco? You're there to just chill and let shit.
I disagree. I think consumption lounges are meant to be enjoyed. You know, that it is less of your neighborhood bar where you're just going to get drunk and more of a place where you're going to enjoy the cannabis that you've elected to enjoy, whether it be, you know, a joint or, you know, whatever. I don't know what they've got in these consumption lounges. Yeah, edibles or whatever. I imagine they're going to make a ton of money off of Uber rides.
No doubt. I mean this sincerely. I have zero problem, although for me personally, I fear that marijuana would be the gateway drug to the next thing you know, I am shooting heroin into my veins and smoking meth as fast as I can get my hands on it. I have no problem with people who enjoy the use of marijuana the same way I enjoy alcohol. All I ask is just, folks, be smart about it. Just don't be stupid and you know, get there safely, go home safely, and just eat it. Take it as a gummy. The young lady that cuts my hair today, the young lady that cuts my hair always, but today in particular, has dropped conservatively 40 pounds. And she said she misjudged her edible about 2 weeks ago. And she was like, I was flying high as a kite because I did not anticipate what weight loss will do for my edible. I'm like, Les, you're saving money, aren't you? She goes, oh, yeah.
Right.
Much, much smaller pieces.
And lastly, Pop Stroke, the golf experience with Tiger Woods as a partner, is opening on Monday, April 22nd at noon. The two-story venue with two 18-hole putting courses built with synthetic turf will be located in Town Square, south of the Las Vegas sign.
All right, that's going to do it for news and prop bets. Let's move on to coming attractions. Coming Attractions, brought to you by Vegas.com, is a portion of the show where we share with you acts and artists outside of the usual residencies that will be performing in Vegas in the future. First up is Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo. I hope I pronounced that correctly. They're performing at the Pearl at Palm Friday, August 2nd. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets start at $45. And gentlemen, am I the odd man out here that know who Neil Geraldo is?
Neil's her guitarist. They've been together forever. The long story short is they got together as a couple. Like, the band was created. They got together as a couple. The rest of the band didn't really like it, and they said, go fuck off. So they did their own thing.
You know what I love most about you, Mark? You are my VH1 Behind the Music. If I ever have a music geek question, you're the guy that I'm going to go to.
It's what I did for a decade.
That's awesome. I love it.
Smashing Pumpkins are performing at the Fountain Blue Friday, September 27th. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets start at $59. That's not bad for Smashing Pumpkins.
No, and I gave Fountain Blue shit for having Hootie and the Blowfish last week. This is more of a...
I'm making up for it.
it makes a little more sense to me. I mean, I just don't understand Fountain Blue's entertainment direction is what I'm trying to get to.
Gentlemen, I said it last week and I'll say it this week. The more they start to put out these sort of musical performances,
yeah,
I'm going to say they're probably playing to the Gen Xers who have a little bit of disposable income,
yeah,
and perhaps have children that are starting to like leave the nest. So the Gen Xers have a little extra disposable income. I bet you if my wife knew for one hot second that Smashing Pumpkins was coming to play in Vegas, she'd be like, well, I've already booked the ticket. So you better start listening to their greatest hits on Apple right now, asshole.
21 Pilots are performing at the MGM Grand Garden Arena Saturday, August 31st. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets start at $60.
Now, here's a show that speaks to old man Snyder. I love this. Rick Springfield and Richard Marx are performing at the Pearl at Palm Saturday, August 14th. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets start at $44, and if my wife knew about this particular show, thank goodness. Could you imagine what world of trouble I would be in if Smashing Pumpkins, Rick Springfield, and, I mean, the sex would never be hotter, gentlemen, if we could just combine them into one big concert.
Into one big concert.
I think you need to start telling your wife about these concerts.
Man. I agree. Right. I agree.
If you are hungry like the wolf, Duran Duran is performing at Encore Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets start at dollars.
Yes, and I'm just closed amount because that annoys the shit out of me. Whenever I'm just, what? Just post the price. So I get if I can't buy the ticket until Friday. I get that. Just tell me how much it's going to be.
That's Mark, it's Encore. If you got to ask.
You got to ask. That's right. That's awesome. Heart is performing at the Fountain Blue Friday, December 15th. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets start at $49.
Whitney Cummings is performing at the Mirage Saturday, July 6th. Show starts at 10 p.m. I will be in bed. Tickets start at $35. Well, no wonder they start at $35. They got to pull old man Snyder out of bed. I'll have slept for like 4.5 hours by the time her concert starts. I'll be ready to go.
And finally, Jim Jefferies is performing at the Mirage Friday and Saturday, August 30th and 31st. Show starts at 10 p.m. Tony will be asleep again. Tickets start at $49.
Don't forget that you can find links to purchase tickets to these and all the artists that we report on our coming attractions calendar on the blog. Let's check the river. Like the five communal cards you get in a game of Texas Hold'em, the river can have anything turn up. So is our river segment. And this week, we've got something new, and this is kind of fun. I'm a little bummed that Karen has to miss out on something that is brand new to the podcast. But Josh, talk about trial by fire, buddy. welcome to just, you got to roll with it sometimes.
Yeah.
We've got a 360 Vegas trivia segment. Now, this is our opportunity to share our knowledge of Las Vegas history while allowing you to test your skill while you play along at home. It isn't about scores. There are no winners or losers. Just this is an excuse to talk about Vegas.
I'm super excited about this. The origins of this thing is I came to you, the listeners, a couple weeks ago with a request that you bring me trivia. And what ended up happening was I got so inspired, I just started writing it myself. And this is stuff that just came off the top of my head. I ended up coming up with 150 plus questions, Tony, just off the top of my head. Shit that I didn't. And when I say off the top of my head, what I mean is they just kind of kept coming to me. And I didn't stop and drill down to think about, like, okay, let me think about this movie and let's think about what happens in that movie and like really drill down to get more specific. This was just one after another, rapid fire. Okay. So I can't wait to share these with these guys. We'll start with the first one. I think I just said use guys. But the first one I have for you, what property had the tallest sign on Fremont Street?
Oh.
Go
do we have to like buzz in?
No,
or something?
No, it's not a competition. Oh, yeah, we're just trying to come up with the right answer.
I want to make sure I get the Daily Double. The Mint.
Okay. What do you think, Tony?
I'll go with the whatever the Plaza Hotel was when it was the Plaza.
Oh, when it was Union Plaza?
Yeah, Union Plaza. Union Plaza is my answer.
That's good. That's good. No, it was Lucky Casino. It was 160 feet tall. The Mint was a close one. That was at like 140 something.
Okay.
All right, the Mint, speaking of, was next door to what property?
Ding, ding, ding.
It's not a contest.
It's most definitely a contest. I'm going with Binion's.
Binion's what?
Binion's horseshoe. Binion's.
There you go.
Correct. No, he asked. Listen, Ken Jennings did not call me wrong. He asked me to clarify. Can you be more specific? Jackass.
All right. Name three properties.
Are we one for
famously...
one right now? I think we're one for one.
Oh, jeez. Name three properties that famously opened in 1955. There's a total of four. You only need to name three of them.
I don't know if I could name two if you narrowed it down to me.
Okay, 55.
1955.
There was a year I know where we were having properties open like weeks apart.
Too many, yep.
Yeah. Sahara.
Nope.
The Dunes.
That's one of them.
Bam. Eat my ass, Josh.
Your mother.
Oh. And the Aladdin.
No. Give you two more guesses.
What was your loser answer, Josh, the first you gave?
I said Sahara.
Right. Jesus Christ.
I'm writing down all the wrong answers.
Shit.
1955. How about...
All I could think about is Marty McFly now that you said 1955. So I'm stuck on that. Sorry. Biff's Casino.
Right. How about... are they all on the strip?
Yes. Well, no, not all of them are on the strip.
Ooh.
One of them was not.
How about the Golden Nugget?
No, that's on Fremont Street.
Where you said?
Oh no! Fair enough. That it could be so. It's the Dunes, the Royal Nevada, the Riviera, and the Moulin Rouge.
Oh gosh!
Wow.
At best, I might have come up with the Riviera, but wow. Say them again one more time, please.
The Dunes, the Royal Nevada, the Riviera, and the Moulin Rouge.
Where was the Royal Nevada?
It was It was right next door to the Stardust. It only lasted a few years, and then the Stardust annexed it. And it became their convention space.
And Dunes and Riviera were like within weeks of each other, right?
Yeah, within a month, yeah.
Okay, all right.
All right. What was the original name of the Stardust?
The Tangiers.
<That's> Nice. <awesome. laughs> Nothing time.
I have no guess. I have no guess.
Starlight. It was initially known as the Starlight, and it was changed. They don't know by who, but they believe by Mo Dalitz was changed to Stardust.
Was that a concept name, and it was changed before it opened?
Yes.
Okay.
Who conceived of the Stardust but died before it finished?
Wow, dude. These are some...
These are deep cuts.
This is like going to a concert and the musician's like, what do you want to hear? And you're going fucking deep tracks on them.
Yeah.
My answer is the guy that Bugsy Siegel snagged
Billy Wilkerson.
No. No, he didn't. It's not Billy Wilkerson. It's Tony Cornero. He's the guy that did the Meadows, okay. The guy that did the first real resort in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Cornero is the guy behind the Stardust.
Oh, shut up, Josh. Oh, yeah, yeah, of course, Tony Cornero. I mean,
I would not have put him at the same time as Stardust.
But, you know, Tony Snyder just fucking, you know, yelled me down, so I couldn't get it out there.
I'm sorry you don't know the other Tony, Tony.
Right.
I know, I'm kind of embarrassed for myself, actually, for many reasons.
Who owned the SS Rex Casino on Fremont Street?
I don't even know what that is. That is literally new words to me.
The SS Rex? SX
Rex?
All right, so the SS Rex was a...
I know the reference.
Yeah, so it used to be at the Horseshoe. It was the property that was there before a Horseshoe.
Okay.
I actually gave you a hint a minute ago. It's Tony Cornero, same guy.
I would tell you that that's what I was thinking, but Tony Snyder would give me the shit about
lies.
It.
So of course that was what you're thinking. Every answer is going to be Tony Cornero out of Josh's mouth.
From now on, yes.
Right. All right. What was the first major property the mob invested in Vegas? Be Tony careful Cornero. When you answer. Be careful
Flamingo.
When you answer.
Flamingo.
Okay. Josh?
Flamingo.
I'm sorry. Repeat the whole question again.
What was the first major property the mob invested in Vegas?
In Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
El Cortez.
Boom. El Cortez. Yep.
Well, look at that. Blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
Jesus
A broken clock, baby.
Right. How tall was the Stardust marquee known as the Queen of the Strip?
35 feet.
35?
163 feet. And 9 inches.
And 9 inches. It was 188.
Who's closest without going over?
It was Josh, actually. It was 188 feet tall. She was the tallest on the strip for close to a decade.
Well, congratulations to Mrs. Josh.
All right. What was the Desert Inn's full name when it opened in 1950?
Wilbur Clark's Desert Inn.
Yes. Good job,
there you go.
Josh.
Well done, gentlemen.
Well, that win is a well-deserved, sir.
Well done. All right, and the last one I've got for you for this show.
Yeah.
What was the name of the restaurant lounge located at the top of the Diamond of the Dunes Hotel Tower?
Shit, no idea. Tony Cornero's.
Right? I have no idea.
Top O' the Strip.
Okay.
So what do you think, gentlemen?
I don't think I even know anything about the casino that you just referenced.
The Dunes?
No, that's not what I heard. Ask the question again.
I said, what was the name of the restaurant lounge located at the top of the Diamond of the Dunes Hotel Tower?
I don't know. Okay, Diamond of the Dunes. Down fairness to me, what is Diamonds of the Dunes?
That's the name of their hotel tower.
So
it was
when
known
they,
as the Diamond of the Dunes.
When they built the tower and expanded, they called the tower the Diamond of the Dunes?
Yep.
Because it was kind of diamond-shaped, I guess?
Right.
Okay.
So what do you think, gentlemen? 360 Vegas Trivia?
I think it's fun. Yeah.
It's super fun. It's super fun. And it made me glad I was banging pussy in college and not being dorks like you assholes. So. I think that's probably going to do it then for episode number 482. Thank you all for listening. I mean, this might be my last podcast that I'm invited to be a part of. If you'd like to check out any of the shows on today's show, you can do so on the blog, which is 360vegaspodcast.com. Get premium and exclusive content when you subscribe to our show at patreon.com/360vegas and get 360 Vegas shirts, mugs, and anything else that I can slur at zazzle.com/360vegas. Josh, the longer we get into these podcasts, the harder it is for me to enunciate.
I've listened for a while. I know how it goes.
Oh, look at me. I'm Josh with my enunciation. Syllables are my friend.
Dude, I haven't eaten all day, and my cocktail's right about here, too. So.
Yeehaw. If you'd like to send some feedback, please do so at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Tony, where can folks find you?
I'm at 360vegastony.
Josh?
I'm at Vegas J-Dubs.
He just told you where you could find me, so until next time.